We'll start with Scotty Brown. Would you come tell us what Jesus has done for you?
Morning, everybody. So, hello, my name is Scotty Brown. I would like to share about God's merciful, abundant, saving grace in my life. I was born into a Catholic family, but when I was 2 years old, my parents left the Catholic Church and started attending a Pentecostal church. I was baptized for the first time at the age of 6 and said the sinner's prayer at that time as well. Over the next 8 years, my family attended several Pentecostal/charismatic churches. But when I was 10, my parents stopped going to church as a result of several different reasons. Over the next 5 years, we spontaneously attended a couple of churches, but in the end, my family ended up not going to church almost at all. During this time, I felt a very strong draw to God and continued to go to a Baptist church with a school friend. Despite my desire to attend church and try to be a good person, I was actively rejecting God on a daily basis, and I was really reveling in my sin. I remember thoroughly enjoying engaging myself in sinful activities and being as wild as I could be without getting caught. Really, it was a thrill. When I was 14 years of age, things began to change, however. I no longer enjoyed my sinful pleasure and pursuit for personal pleasure as I had before, and I felt a strong urge to repent of my sins and seek God. I fought this very strongly, and I sinned more. I was extremely conflicted and very confused. I felt dead and hopeless at the best of times, and I told myself, I shouldn't be feeling this way. I said the prayer several times when I was a child and was baptized when I was 6. I'm okay. I'm saved. Yet I continued to reject God and was full of doubt and confusion. I also felt completely rejected by the people I lived around and went to school with. I was a strange one from Europe with a funny accent, living in a rural part of Texas. Everyone saw me as an outsider, and honestly, I felt entirely alone. More than anything in life, I wanted to be accepted. The problem was I desired the acceptance of people around me, not that of my Creator. In pursuit of this acceptance, I started attending a small charismatic church in the town that I went to school in. It's a small place called Clyde, Texas, if anybody knows where that's at. A little blip on the map. There was an evangelist there one night, and he presented a very fiery and energetic message about Jesus. He read part of Romans 10:9 to us and professed that all I needed to do was confess Jesus with my mouth and believe in my heart that he died for my sins and rose from the dead, and I'd be saved. I wanted desperately to join in and be accepted by those around me. So, to be accepted by those around me who obviously seemed to love everyone, even outsiders like me, despite where they were from or how they sounded. So, as an emotional 14-year-old who was surrounded by emotional adults, I did the normal thing. I lay on the ground. I said all the right words. I had a good cry, and I felt different, and I felt relieved. At least the way one feels relieved when they have a good cry. However, I was convinced that I truly had been saved this time, and that this emotional experience was a true conversion. I wanted so badly to believe it, so I did. Over the next few months and years, I learned how to speak and act the right way and how to fit in with those around me. Yet I was filled with an overwhelming doubt. The teaching at this church left me feeling even more confused, and I doubted my own salvation constantly. So I did the next logical thing. I decided to go back to England and become a youth pastor. Well, makes a lot of sense, right? After all, everyone was telling me that I had a pastor's heart, whatever that means, and that I was good with people. I needed to be in ministry, they said. The problem was that within a week of me beginning this role as a so-called youth pastor at a small church in England, all of my own doubt and confusion consumed me, and I felt utterly and completely lost and abandoned. I could not articulate the gospel at all, and when asked what someone had to do to gain salvation by the youth I was supposed to be leading, I floundered, stuttered, and ended up talking about Jesus and how he could make them happy and take away all their pain and hurt in life. This is what I had been taught, and yet I myself was still full of hurt, pain, and unbelief. It was truly pitiful and honestly heartbreaking. So, armed with doubt and unbelief, I did the next normal thing that one does in such a situation. I decided I needed to gain the knowledge that was lacking. So as the story goes, I applied and was accepted into a discipleship program and Bible school in Ireland and moved there after 10 months in what I thought was ministry. I felt like an utter failure. Over the next 3 years, I was taught all sorts of Christian philosophies and had laid a very solid foundation of Pentecostal doctrine. At the end of my 3 years, I felt confident and like I had arrived. I no longer felt as much doubt or unbelief as I had before, the key words there being as much. So I went back to Texas, and I started working in a local church as a youth pastor, youth and children's worker. Yet, even then, I could still not explain or articulate the gospel. The confusion and doubt continued. Over the next few years, I ended up attending church almost not at all. And my wife and I, yes, I got married shortly after leaving that church in Texas. We could never find a church that we felt comfortable at. I wanted a charismatic church. She didn't. We were divided. This went on for about 8 years. We ended up moving to Spain for 3 years, and during this time, briefly attended a Pentecostal church there. It was another bad experience, and we ended up not attending anywhere for the better part of 2 years. I felt alone, bereft of hope, and completely abandoned by Christianity and God. My heart became very hardened against God. And I would rage about so-called Christians in churches for hours every Sunday while I sat on the couch in our flat. A year ago, we moved to Arizona, and I started working at Grand Canyon University. At this point, I was a miserable excuse for a man. My wife and I were fighting constantly, mostly honestly due to my own sin, my anger, and my laziness. And our poor one-year-old son, who's now about to be three, was seeing this every single day. Talks of separation started to surface from my mouth because I was adamant that there was nothing wrong with me. It was all her and everyone else around me. My poor, sweet, loving wife was trying to make sense of how her husband, who professed to be a believer and a man of God, was hurting her so much and tearing our family apart. Around this time, two of my coworkers, Jarrett Young and Jonathan Philobis, started to share the gospel with me during our lunch breaks. Everything they said was making so much sense. I thought I knew this all before, but for the first time I was actually starting to understand that I was sinful and I was in need of salvation and a Savior. As sad as it is, almost 15 years of thinking I was a believer, I had never truly understood this message before and rather had been taught that I was no longer a sinner saved by grace. I was just simply saved by grace. I was also taught that I chose God, not that he chose me. So they took me to Romans 3:23, which states that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then 1 John 1:8, which states, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. This was earth-shattering for me as it made me realize not only was I sinful, but that I had never really faced my own sin. Next they asked me if I thought I was a good man. And I said, I thought so, because I reckoned I was a decent father, decent husband, decent citizen. They then showed me Romans 3:11-12. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. I was speechless. It was staring me right in the face from Scripture. Not only was I not good in myself, and the only thing that could ever be possibly good about me was that which would be God in me. But I also was seeing that nothing about me ever sought God or even desired him of my own volition. It made me realize all my attempts to find him had truly been self-centered, and I had never really honestly sought God. I only sought selfish gain, joy, and fulfillment. I was heartbroken, and I was ashamed. My wife and I decided to attend Grace Bible Church. It was my old church in Ireland. Pardon that. After I shared with her what the lads were showing me. If the character of these two lads represented the church, we wanted to check it out. So we visited the first Sunday in the new building back in August, and we loved it. I left feeling both encouraged and completely aware of my sin again. We attended again the next week, and my heart was just broken by what I was hearing again about how I was sinful, how offensive it was to God, and what his grace truly was. Then when Jesus died on the cross, and that Sorry, that Jesus died on the cross and that he was made an absolute propitiation for my sin. And that through that act, he justified God's righteous wrath against those sinners who are believing ones, so that they might be saved and be dead to their sin no longer. I went home after that service and I repented to my wife and my son for how I had been sinning against them, for all my anger, my hate, my selfishness, and my lack of love. I then repented to God for my sin against him and asked them all to forgive me. Something was noticeably different after that moment to both myself and those around me. But I believe that I had just come back to God after backsliding. 5 months later in January this year, I was really wrestling with what had actually happened in August. One day I was reading Romans 1:16-17, which says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" Suddenly I realized that if I had never before had a clear understanding of the gospel, then how could I have been saved prior to what took place in August? I certainly was not living as a righteous man previously. Then as I continued on in the chapter and it described how unbelievers lived in contrast to believers, I saw how I truly had been. I had been full of strife, murder, gossip, arrogance, insolence, without understanding. I was unloving, I was unmerciful, and so on and so forth. I had been an unbeliever, truthfully. I really understood now that since that day in August when I repented of my sin, God saw fit in his timing, by his mercy and his grace, to save me, a sinner, and set me free from the bondage of sin and death. I realized that since then, I no longer live habitually in sin. I fight it daily, and my life no longer resembles that old man, praise God. This is why I wish to make a public profession of my faith today and plead with anyone who is living as I had before in stark defiance to God and reveling in their sin to repent to him of that sin and seek his everlasting, gracious forgiveness. Thank you.
Based on your profession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.